This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Well, it's wonderful to be back here in Somerset West and to enjoy the wonderful view again and to see all the familiar faces. And I just want us to pray together. Father, I pray that your purposes for this morning be established, that you draw your church under your wing as a hen gathers her chicks. Father, that you will speak to us, minister to us, comfort us, and then send us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So Pastor Heinrich asked me to share a little bit with you today about what's happening with the Love Cape Town City Festival outreaches. We've had our launch this week Wednesday. We had many hundreds of pastors coming together from all over the city. It was a magical gathering, and it was amazing. We asked the Pastor Theo Roman from Mitchell's Plain to open up with a short devotion, and he said, well, what's happened in our nation by the example of Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng has made an enormous impact. That video is going viral. And so he said, why don't we follow that example? And we kneel, not when we pray today. We're not going to stand, we're not going to sit, we're going to kneel as the city and as the pastors of Cape Town. And so that wasn't meant to be the time of prayer. The time of prayer was meant to be at the end of our meeting. But right there, in the start of our meeting, all the pastors went to their knees. We committed our city into the Lord and made a commitment that wherever we go, to the businesses, to the marketplaces, even restaurants from time to time, that we will actually go down on our knees and do our prayer in that way. It was such a bold start and such an anointed start of what God wants to do in our city. So we all were just touched by this, by the Spirit, and the fact that God has got a prophetic destiny for our city. And we've had so many prophecies throughout the years that revival will start in the south, here in Cape Town, spread throughout Africa and all over the world. Graham Power was sharing just how through transformation, Africa prayer initiatives, things have started to develop in the hearts of our city, and God is doing mighty, mighty things. And I believe the time is coming for us for harvest to come in. Graham said that he saw three waves 20 years ago, a wave of prayer, a wave of ethics, and the third one, a wave of evangelism, bringing in the harvest. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about what's happening in our city. I'm going to try and keep it short and brief, but still, it's so exciting, and us being here in Somerset West is very much part of what God is doing in our city. And this is not a one church thing. This is not a church project. This is the church in Cape Town coming together. That's why we need to take a little bit of time and just hear what God has got planned. So if we can play that video clip, it'll give you an idea of what's coming up.
I'm Tien Spoh.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Andrew Palau here.
This is Barry Isaacs here from Cape Town.
Dumelang, Cape Town Church.
G'day, friends. It's a great joy.
This is a call to all brothers and sisters in Christ to unite for the sake of the gospel in our great city of Cape Town.
Let's meet you there.
Every one of us, come and join us as we come together.
We are inviting the church across the denominational lines, every culture, every one of us.
The biggest outreach that I know of in the last 10 or 20 years.
Walala wasala.
We need you to start praying for a friend who needs the Lord and then invite them to an event where they will encounter Jesus. God has called us to evangelize the cities of Africa through word and deed in partnership with the church.
Africa Enterprise
and Louise Palau teams taking hands.
In November, book your diary because God wants to meet you.
We will be having equipping sessions in the build-up to the November Love Cape Town City Fest, so you will be ready to join us in taking the gospel to the schools, hospitals, prisons, factories, marketplaces, and from door to door. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
The first event is in Mitchell's Plain, the second in Khayelitsha, and the third one in the Garden in Cape Town. It's going to be awesome.
Cape Town will never be the same.
Hallelujah. Well, you may remember that in February I went to Abidjan to have a look at the festival that the Luis Palau team had there, and you know, there was, you saw the guys jumping there with the motorbikes and BMXs. It's quite exciting, high energy to draw people closer. And so what has happened in Cape Town is African Enterprise and Luis Palau organizations decided to pull together together with the churches in Cape Town, and the goal is to reach 300,000 people in terms of hearing the message and praying that at least 100,000 people would come to Christ during, from now until the end of November. So that's what we're praying for, that's what we're hoping for, and mobilizing the churches to do. And so there's two strategies that's being combined. Luis Palau is famous for their festivals, and African Enterprise for this stratified evangelism. So what it means is mass evangelism and personal direct evangelism. So in the one sense, you are calling people to a place. There's going to be three places: Mitchell's Plain, Khayelitsha, and City Center, 2nd, 9th, and 16th of November. These mass events, and then stratified events is when we're going to go to where the people are, to the schools, going to the prisons, going to the markets, into businesses, factories, wherever you can find people. And let me not run ahead of myself. So I just want to give you a quick overview of what the festivals is going to be like. Firstly, there's going to be activities for the children. If you can show the children's images there. So they've got jumping castles, but it's kids' games, focused games for the children. Not just there's an entertainment area, but really coming with a message for the children. Then thereafter, you'll have the guys doing action sports, and I've seen just how wonderfully it reaches the young people, especially when those guys fly through there. Just look at that. I mean, you can't even see where he's going to land. This is Abidjan. That's also Abidjan. Okay, and then it was interesting with the music. They had Don Moen there, and he was right at the end. After the call to follow Jesus, Don came up. So they prioritized calling people to Jesus, and then everybody was sort of waiting for the main attraction. Don Moen's going to lead us, and that was right at the end. Wonderful. And then you see the message that takes place. You'll see some photographs there of Andrew Palau on stage. So I want to just show you these pictures so that you can have an expectation of what's going to happen. And these are, I'll come to it a little bit later, but these are opportunities for somebody to have a date with Jesus. And when you look at this, don't just look at it as entertainment or a way to get people somewhere, but it's a date with Jesus that we're praying for. Amen. So there's the dates and the venues. Then when it comes to the stratified evangelism, we're going to go to enclosed areas. So that means schools, universities, businesses, hospitals, clinics. And there's a few pictures up there for you as well, how the guys have done it in prisons. That's a prison outreach. This is at one of the schools where they jump over the kids, and you fear, you know, just thinking, where's the indemnity forms? You know, if, in case they don't make the jump, it's really nerve-wracking to watch it. And that's another school. It's exciting things that the guys do to go to the schools. Then there's open settings, you know, where informal areas, so you'll see a few pictures of people just reaching out. I know the light is a bit not so strong, but individual ministry. Just going to wherever you can. And I want you to just keep this in the back of your mind as we talk about this. And then there will be an opportunity. There will be different kinds of teams that will be reaching out. So there's sports ministry guys that's going to be on board. I know the Inspired to Become guys are going to be involved in helping with that. But churches can also get a team together. So as a church in Somerset West, you could put a team or two or three together to say, we're going to do outreaches in our area during those 2 weeks, from the 2nd to the 16th. So the main events are the Saturdays, but in between are those outreaches. And I want you to start praying even now and book that time out in your diary to say, I'm going to be on a team. I want to, and even lead a team. Some of you may need to lead a team and say, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What is our strategy so that we can be part of what God is doing? Then I'm not going to talk long about this, but there will also be key dinners with business, prominent business leaders, prominent women for a women's dinner. And then while we were speaking about this, somebody said, why don't we call the whole parliament together so we might have a politician's dinner? The guys talking about this yesterday said, let us invite the president, the premier, the mayor, everybody together, and let us trust God for a significant move in our city. So when you pray, please pray for those dinners as well. Then there'll be social action all over the city, right here from our church. John Kleinans is going to be involved with that. So if you want to know more, talk to him about it. Reaching the youth, you can talk to Chris and Fani if you want to help them. And then in terms of prayer, you can also talk to Desiree and get involved with the prayer for this event. So there's going to be a lot happening, and there's a lot to pray for and a lot of things to be excited about. I'm going to talk about this little prayer card in a while, but I first want to share with you a few thoughts around Scripture. As Heinrich asked me to share about this event, I thought, let me not just share with you an event, hand out a few flyers, but let us consider our hearts and prepare our hearts for what is coming, because sometimes there are events that stand out from others, and this is for me like a divine moment in the history of our city. It's one of those things that you're going to tell your children one day, I was part of that. And so we need to prepare our hearts for this, that we might not miss what God is going to do. You know, those of us who have been to the men's camps with Uncle Angus will know that for the rest of your life, you're going to say, we were at camp with 60,000 men. We were at camp with 300,000 men. We saw the time where there was the glory of God came down on the tent, and I was there. Those are moments that you don't want to miss out. When there's a move of God, don't miss out. So I want to read to you from John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 12, verse 35 to 36. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So, just want to briefly stand still here for a moment. Jesus is saying, I am the light of life. I have the light of life. And those who follow me, those who believe in me, will have the light of life. He says, they believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Another translation says that you may become children of the light. So you and I, wherever we are and wherever we're going, we are carriers of God's light. And the light of God is powerful. Where there is light, darkness departs. You see, darkness is not an entity that has substance. It cannot be. You cannot put on darkness. You can put on a light. You can switch on a light, but you can't switch on darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. And so wherever we find ourselves in our communities, in our workplaces, there are people who are in darkness because they don't have the light. There are people in your office, sitting next to you in the next cubicle, sitting next to you in the bus, sitting next to you wherever you are traveling. They have darkness, not because they are dark themselves, but because they don't have light. So we should not see people who are caught up in darkness as being evil. We should not see them as being wicked. Though some of them may do wicked things, somebody will murder, somebody would steal, and they are criminal things, but they are even less evil kind of things that happen, which we still call sins. And so oftentimes we look at ourselves as children of the light and we sort of look down upon the people who are in darkness. We separate ourselves from them. I don't want to be among them. I don't want to be like them. And yes, we should not be conformed to this world. But in our minds, we should not see ourselves as better than them. We should see ourselves as lucky. Lucky by the grace of God. Because we are saved not by our works, not by our goodness. None of us deserve the light. None of us have created this light. None of us have a light in our own. The light we have is the light we have received from Christ. By grace through faith. By grace Jesus came. The Father sent him who went through the cross. We celebrate the risen Christ. And by faith we believe in him and we walk that road. Amen. And so we should not get stuck just on the message of grace, that by grace everything will be fine. It's grace and faith. And so we have a faith, and because of that faith, the light was switched on in our lives, in your and my life. I often tell the story, or refer to the story in the Bible, where the lady who was bleeding for 12 years, do you know that story? And she said, I think if I can just manage to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I might be healed. And she pushed through the crowds, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and instantly she got healed. Jesus turned around, and he said, "Who touched me?" Jesus said, "What do you mean, who touched you? There's like 5,000 people around you." The disciples said, "You know, why do you say, who touched me? Because all these people are touching." He said, "No, somebody has touched me, and I felt the power go out of me." So the dunamis power of God is like an electricity, like a spiritual current of power that was flowing out of him. And so she tells a story. He says to her, what? "Your faith has made you well." And so because of her faith, the power of God was flowing out of Jesus into her, and she got healed. I think many other sick people touched Jesus that same day. But we don't read about them. Because you see, there's electricity in the lights behind me, there's power cables, there's power available in this room. But if you don't switch on the light, none of the lights will shine. The access and the availability to power is here. But if you don't have that faith, faith is the switch that triggers the power of God. In the same way, that faith is a switch that triggers the light of God. You and I have the light because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died and rose again, and that he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. And because we've come to a place of repentance in Jesus Christ. And so as carriers of the light, when we see people in darkness, we need to go to them and share with them the light that we have. And the light and the message of the light starts with the message of the gospel. It starts with the testimonies of what has God done in my life, the blessings that I have received through Christ, through prayer, in answer to prayer, so many things that we can share with people. But I don't want to overcomplicate this part of it. I just want us to come to a place to realize the light of God is in me. The light of God, not Duracell, not Eskom. Praise God. The light of God is in me. The light that does not need a sun. The Bible tells us in the new earth, in the new heavens, there won't be a sun. Because God himself will be our light. We will literally live in the light of God. And that light is in you. It's in me. And the darkness cannot overwhelm it. It cannot cover it, it cannot break it, it cannot destroy it, because the darkness is nothing. Darkness is nothingness. Space is dark because there's nothing there. There's no light there. When you look up at the night and you see all the dark and you see the little spots, the dark spots is simply places where there's no light. It's not a substance, it's not a power, it's nothing to fear for those who fear darkness. But come with a light and darkness suddenly goes out of the window. So, Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, Jesus speaks and he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor that they do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this scripture speaks about salt and light. And I first want to quickly talk about salt before we come back to light. All of us are light, but we're also salt. And the salt only has power when it touches something else. Amen? So, who of you like to eat teaspoons of salt? Anybody? No, none of us likes to eat a teaspoon of salt or a tablespoon full of salt. So salt in itself is not something that we like. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes salt if it doesn't touch anything. And maybe that's why sometimes the world looks at us and they don't like us, because we're not touching them. Because we're somewhere in our own little teaspoon. Because we're somewhere in our own little salt jar. Because to them, salt in a salt jar is maybe an insult. Maybe it's, why do you all just want to be in your salt jar? Why can't we be part of your salt jar? Or is your salt jar so good and so wonderful and so better than us? But when the salt comes and it touches the steak, suddenly, voila, braaidagie, kom ons. When it touches the soup, when it touches even the bread, when it touches the mealiepap, when it touches the food, the salt brings flavor. It changes something. It adds a value to that. And so you and I, as salt and light, need to go to where people are, those who are in darkness. They're not dark, but they're in darkness. But our light needs to change and touch their lives. And that means interaction. Because when the salt connects with the steak or the food or the soup, then there's a mixing. It dissolves. I mean, when you throw it on the steak, you can see it for a moment, but after a while, because of the heat, it dissolves and becomes part of. And so the salt that we have must touch people's lives, and we need to interconnect with people around us in such a way that the salt and the light in us would change their lives, that they would say, wow, value has been added to my life. I would love to know more about this Jesus that you are serving. Did you see on Facebook this week of somebody, a petrol attendant? So for those who didn't hear the story, somebody came, was driving along the N2, stopped at a petrol station, and she needed fuel because she was running on empty, but then she forgot her wallet. She didn't have money on her. So the petrol station said, ma'am, I'm going to give you 100 rand. I'm going to put in petrol for you from my own money, because driving along the N2 by yourself and standing without petrol is dangerous. I don't want you to come to a place of danger. She said, but how do you know that I'm going to come back? He says, don't worry, I trust you. And so she took the petrol, went off, and then later in the day came back and gave him his 100 rand back and said, why did you do that? I mean, how? Because he didn't take her name, didn't take a telephone number, nothing. No details. He just gave her the money, put in the petrol, and off she went. And then when she asked him those questions, he said, ma'am, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. That was his answer. Now, to me, that is salt. That is salt. You know what's happened? She started a crowdfunding for the man. The goal is 100,000 rand. There's already, last time I checked, 45,000 rand that people has given to that man. So he sowed something and he's reaping much more than he ever thought possible. He was just being salt. But the salt that he was had such an impact that it's now viral. It's running throughout the whole, 240,000 rand that has been raised. And it's going viral throughout this nation. People are talking about it because one guy was salt. And we can do the same. And he had no expectation. And I'm pretty sure he was willing to lose that 100 rand. He was willing to not get that back. Wow. What an inspiration for us to follow that. So when it comes to darkness and light, The light that is in us can be active and it can be static. Take a lighthouse, for example. A lighthouse stands in one place and the light goes out and people take note of it. And so when we come together here at church, this is kind of like a lighthouse, and we're saying, come together, and people can come here. It's like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. God says, don't be hidden. Let people know where you are. Let them know where the light is. Announce it, proclaim it, make it known. Don't hide your light under the bucket. Don't be shy of your light, but be bold and proclaim. This is the light, here is light. If you're in darkness and you don't know where to find stuff, who of you are Survivor fans, by the way? I see survivors hit shofar like crazy. But you know, one of the first things those tribes fight for, or what they try to get, is flint to make fire. Well, they want to cook food, but it also brings heat and light. So there are so many people that are saying, because they would ask one another, where can we find flint? Where can we find flint? Where can we find flint? And I tell you that there are many people looking for light who are in darkness, but they don't know where to go. They don't know where to find it. And so we need to make sure that the signal we send as a church and as Christians in terms of a lighthouse must be easily seen and welcoming. Welcoming because of the salt that is not an assault shaker, but touching people's lives. And then it can also be active in the sense of a torch. You can take your torch and you can go with it. And so we need to go, you know, it's like when you go on a hike at night and you have to walk through the bushes and find your way. That is kind of what we are. We are like torches walking around throughout this world, and wherever we are, we need to shine our light. And I think for today, we're going to spend some time in prayer, by the way, today. And I want us to pray, God, where do you want me to take my torch, my light, to go and shine it where there's darkness? How do you want me to be salt and light, and where do I need to do that? You know, I grew up with two songs that I will probably never forget. One song is, you might know this one, This Little Light of Mine. Who knows that one? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen? Is that light little? No. It's not little. You see, sometimes we sing these songs and we grow up with it and we think, what a cute song. And it's exciting because there's some truth in it. There's light. This is my light and I can shine it and I must shine it. And it's an exciting song. It's a joyful song. And whenever we sing it with kids, it's like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, and they've got all the moves to do and the smiles are there and it's really exciting. But unbeknownst to us, we have this idea that the light that is in me is little. And that somehow it's too little, and that I still need to fear darkness. We don't think it, we don't know it. It's a subconscious thing that's there to think that my light is a little light. But wherein does the size and the power of the light lie? Does it lie in you? Does it lie in me? Or is it Christ? Because if the light was yours, then yes, you can say it's little or non-existent. But if the light is the light of Christ, it is the light that doesn't even need the sun, then that light is not little, it is not weak, it is not something that is afraid of darkness. That light is saying, no, I have light that brings life. The light of life, Jesus says, the light of life. And so personally, I think we need to change the song. This mighty light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This mighty light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Any amens for that one? Amen. This mighty light of mine, not mighty because of me, but mighty because of Christ, who is the giver of that light. We need to change our thinking that we are not little light carriers. We are mighty light carriers. It's like he said this morning, you know, we're not spades digging at the ground. We mining tunnel borers. Hallelujah. It's just the way that you, it's a different way of thinking. And as a man thinks, so is he. the Bible says. And if we're going to think we are small, then the light is small, we're going to act accordingly. But when we see that this light that is in us is mighty and powerful, we will act and think differently. So the other song is an Afrikaans song. It will be there on screen. Laat ons son skyn vir Jesus met 'n helder glans. I just want to go to the last one. So basically this says, we're going to shine like the stars, and we're shining for Jesus. And then the last line is, Jy en jou klein hoekie en ek en myn. Does anybody know that song? Jy en jou klein hoekie en ek en myn. Anybody know that song? Okay. Well, I think that's another song that needs to change. I'm changing songs today. Because why should we be in little corners? Can anybody show me a scripture that says, go with your light and sit in the corner? Corners are for the naughty people. We need to shine the light, not under the bucket, but take it out. Come out of the corner and go forth and shine your light. Now, as I'm speaking to you, literally hundreds of pastors throughout the city about this Love Cape Town City Festival, a lot of them ask me and they say, but Anton, why should we get involved with something like this? You know, our church, we're already doing evangelism. We already have programs. We already have discipleship things. When I speak to evangelism ministries, they say the same thing. But we're already evangelizing. We do it every week. Why do we need to become part of this? Well, here's my answer. All of us in this room have got the light of Christ. Outside, we are seeing the light, the normal sunlight. We can see the sea and the beautiful mountains, and there's light all around us. But do you see a fire caused by this light? The sunlight, I mean. No, we don't. Wherever the light goes, it's power, and it drives out the darkness. But if you add a magnifying glass, I think I've got a picture of that, and you focus the rays, the collective rays of the sun, into a small space, at the same time, all of a sudden, you can create fire. It's the same sunlight. It's the same number of rays. Divided separately, they cannot cause fire. It's not enough. But when you put them through a magnifying glass, suddenly there can be fire. And so that is why God calls us together from time to time in your town, in your city, as a church, and say, let us put our collective light together. Let us focus the energy that comes with that light through a channel or an opportunity that can create a catalytic event for a fire to happen. And we use the power of unity and the power of synergy to create a revival fire. And that is why we need to unite as a city. Not just to have another program, but to say we're going to combine our light using unity and synergy together. Amen. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. You know the scriptures. One will put 1,000 in flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. Not 2,000, 10,000. There's a cumulative building effect. There's effect that is in the orders of 10 when we come together. When the whole city of Cape Town is going to be talking about love Cape Town, when if you're working in the Sunlam building, and maybe there's 500 people working there, and maybe there's 50 churches represented, imagine all 50 church members in the Sunlam building starts talking about Love Cape Town. Let's go to the CBD outreach. Let's go to the Mitchell's Plain outreach. Can you imagine how many more people will know about what's happening than just you sitting there in your little corner with your little cubicle thinking, I wonder who I can invite. But if you find the other believers in the building, say, hey, let's pray together. You know, our offices for this Love Cape Town thing is at the power construction offices in Blackheath. And the Lord has challenged me this week. Well, it's been on my heart for a while now, but I'm going to be start praying for the staff members of the power offices, and if they're not praying already, because I haven't heard anybody pray there, we're going to call together a lunchtime prayer gathering and see who wants to come and start to impact also the very same company where we have our offices. The power when we put it together. So I want to introduce to you a few concepts that I'm sharing with people throughout the city, pastors and the like, and I hope that it might be meaningful to you today. Each one of these outreaches and every other outreach that you're going to have is an opportunity for somebody to have a date with Jesus. I sort of want you to remember this word, date with Jesus. Now, I want to give you the example of a young man. Let's say there's a young man here in the church and there's a beautiful new member girl that comes in. And he says, whoa, sele ka ba moe. And you've got your eye on this beautiful girl. And you want to get to know her better. You want to take her out on a date. You just don't just walk up to her and say, hey, would you like to go with me to the matric farewell? That might not go so well for you. Would you agree? So sometimes when you want to draw closer to somebody, you need an excuse. Like a matric farewell or a special occasion. And that gives you the opportunity to say, maybe I can invite this young girl with me on a date. And using this special event or occasion as an excuse. But every clever young man is going to have a bit of a build-up when he wants to get closer to that girl. He might, you know, if he's going to the tuck shop and he's seeing there, he might just accidentally be next to her in the queue and start talking to her. When she's walking between classes, just accidentally walk next to her. And Christelle, in our case, we were together on a mission team. That's how we met. And then whenever we had the circle to pray, she was accidentally next to me. You need some unofficial accidents to draw closer. Amen? And the better you are at planning that, the more successful you are in terms of your chances of getting married. I hope the young men are listening. I can talk about this for a while, but the fact is, you have a strategy. There's a build-up. There's a way in which you connect with her before you even ask her on that big date. But we want to, as Christians, take somebody on this massive, life-changing date with Jesus, and we don't want to do any preparation. We think we can just say, hey, you want to come with? And then we're surprised when they don't want to. But in life, we have the build-up, but in Christ, we sometimes don't do the build-up. So I want to tell you the parable of three pastors. And I want to introduce another concept or term, and that is invitation power. So let's take three pastors, each one with 100 members, and each one says, I'm going to have an outreach service, the same kind of outreach service, in 1 month from now. So the first pastor gets up in front of the church and says, church, we're having an outreach Sunday 1 month from now. Please bring friends and family to this wonderful outreach event. And then maybe five first-time visitors come. So your invitation power of that church is 5%. Another pastor says, wait, guys, we're going to have an outreach service 1 month from now, but we're going to have some prayer cards, write down five names here, and we're going to pray for those five names every Sunday, every cell group, and we're going to ask each other, are you praying for them? And so for the whole time of that month, you're going to be praying for them daily and weekly, whenever you're together collectively, whenever you are praying alone, you're going to be praying for them. And maybe then, when they have that outreach, there might be 30 or 40 people to come. Because prayer has gone into it. And so the invitation power has been increased. And then you might have the third pastor who would do the same thing as the second one, but he would add another element. He would say, we're going to train every member in church in, let's call it friendship evangelism. How do you build relationship? How do you talk to people? How do you engage with divine appointments? How do you engage with deliberate appointments? And we do some skills training in terms of how do you do this? How do you connect? Because in prayer, we need action. Faith and works need to go together. And so if you add that training and equipping and focused relationship building, you might end up with 60 people instead of 30 or instead of 5. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so this is the message we're taking throughout the entire city for every church. And this is why we're handing out these prayer cards. And I'd like you to just have a quick look at this. And this is a tool not only for Love Cape Town, but it's a tool and a concept. And the things I'm sharing with you is for church, for life going forward. Whenever there's another event or an outreach opportunity, you can use the same principle. So there's a space for five names where you can write, and I want you today, write down the name of five people that you're going to pray for. Not now, at the end, when I'm done speaking, we're going to write it. We're going to start praying for people. And we've done this as a church before, where we've prayed for people and we've had outreaches before. But I want us to at this time, just keep this in your Bible, keep it in your diary, keep it somewhere where you can have it with you or transfer the names. And Wednesdays, when you have cell groups, pray together for these people. And then in September, there's going to be training on evangelism, friendship evangelism. So these dates on here, you can please diarize that. So in the second half of September, there's going to be friendship evangelism training in terms of how can we grow better in terms of having strategic relationships with people. And when we talk about praying for people, we're not just saying, Lord, please reach them. Lord, please save them. Lord, connect with them. We're praying that, but we're praying something else. We're saying, Lord, help me to be salt and light in the lives of these five people. Lord, help me to have a divine appointment with one or all of these five people. And what do I mean by divine appointment? Divine appointment is when you're praying for somebody and suddenly they're next to you at the coffee shop. Or they're next to you at the lunch coffee station. And so here's your opportunity to connect. And if you're not wide awake, you might miss that opportunity. So God can supernaturally order your diary. And I want to say to you, I've seen this over and over in my life. When I pray for people, how many times has it happened to you that you say, you meet somebody and you think, I've just been thinking about you. Has that happened? I've just been thinking about you. Well, maybe that's a divine appointment. Maybe that's a divine encounter. Maybe God has orchestrated that moment so that you can further it and be salt and light. Let's not miss the divine appointments that God has for us. And then the second category is deliberate appointments. And this is the more tough one because it doesn't happen by chance. You have to physically go. So I'll tell you what my plan is. At the power offices, I'm going to go and I'm going to meet the staff as good as I can. They're all in different places. And just say, we're going to start praying for people in this company. What is your name? Would like to get to know you. Is there anything specific that I can pray for you for? And just start by praying. Can I pray for you? Can I at least learn your name? And that's going to be deliberate. It's going to take some action to be salt and light. And you need to ask yourself the question, what is it that you're going to do? And we're going to, when we pray now, we're going to also sit in little groups of three and four and talk a little bit about what strategies can we use in terms of connecting with people, building relationship with them so that they can come for a date with Jesus. And when I talk about a date with Jesus, I don't mean 2 or 9 or 16 September. I mean that too. But next Sunday, people can have a date with Jesus right here in this room. This coming Wednesday, somebody can have a date with Jesus. Amen. This coming week, in the office over lunchtime, somebody can have a date with Jesus. You can go and visit somebody in their home, or they can come and visit you, and they could have a date with Jesus. So I'm not going to go through the whole prayer card. Just read through it. The principles are written down there, how to pray and what to do and so forth. But I just want to put this seed in your hearts that the date with Jesus can happen at any time, but we are facilitators. What do you call the people that set up these blind dates? Matchmakers. Yeah, I don't like it in terms of normal dating. Nobody was ever successful at setting me up with one of those. But we are matchmakers in a spiritual sense. And we need to plan and pray around that. Amen. So I want to close off with the last scripture. Two scriptures, Matthew 4, verse 19. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 28, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So we are fishers of men. We know that. I've preached about it many times. We are disciple makers. We know that too. So if we are fishers of men and we are disciple makers, we need to start mending our nets. And so what we're going to be doing in this outreach, and hopefully the churches will be doing the same thing going forward in future all over Cape Town, is let me explain to you the journey. We are asking each church to have a new believers meeting straight after the outreach, like within a week. And then those who've committed their lives to Christ can then come to that place and connect with the church. So it's a meet and greet and talk about Jesus and what does it mean to follow Jesus, 2 hours. What does it mean to pray? What does it mean to read? How do you read your Bible? Why is it important to fellowship? And talk about those basic things when you start, because at an outreach, you might not have the time to do that. And then after that, there will be discipleship courses, and churches can choose either their own one, like, for example, Shofar's got our Encounter series. They might use an African Enterprise one, and even Alpha has said we are going to make available training for churches who want to do Alpha courses for the new believers. So there's different options for the churches in Cape Town, and I'm sure you'll here in this congregation be able to follow through on that. But I want to leave you with an image of a church member. Let's call of yourselves the friend. You are all friends here, friends of Jesus, and you have friends out there. And you might have somebody that is in darkness, who does not have the light, who does not know Jesus, and let's call that person the guest. And as the friend, you need to befriend that person in darkness, build relationship with them, pray for them, and invite them for a date with Jesus. So in prayer, you prepare the ground. Through relationship building, you prepare the ground. And when the time is right, you will make your invitation and say, would you like to come with me to this and that event? And then if the people come and there's the message and somebody puts up their hand and say, I want to follow Jesus, then you go with them. You introduce yourself to the council and say, hi, my name is Anton Mayberg. This is my friend. I invited him to be here. And the counselor would then write down your name too on the card. And then that card will come to your church. And you will be able to do the follow-up from there that we know, because you're the one that has built relationship. You are the one that has put effort into it. But then you would say to that friend, listen, there's going to be a new believers meeting next Saturday in this place at that time. Are you ready to come with me? And if you can't make it, there's going to be another one next week later, just for those who can't make it. But I'll come with you. I'll bring you to that new believers meeting because, hey, man, wonderful. You've made a decision to follow Christ. And I'm going to walk this road with you. You see, then your guest becomes your friend, becomes the one that you are walking with. And then you take them to the New Believers meeting. You go with them to the Encounter series or the Alpha course, whichever one it's going to be. And you continue to walk that road with them. So in other words, the inviter is the host, is the follow-upper, is the follow-thrower. You see, in churches, we know a lot about follow-up, but we don't talk about follow-through that much. And so throughout this outreach campaign, we're going to deliberately set up times. On the website, people will know there's going to be 500 or 1,000 new believers meetings set up in throughout the city in advance. And so every new believer will be going to on a website and say, this is where I can go to a new believers meeting. But hopefully they're not going to need that. Hopefully the friend is going to say to them, come with me. I'll take you there. I'll walk this road with you. Amen. Because we're not meant to just simply call people. We're meant to walk a road with them. We're meant to disciple them and be the salt and the light in their lives. Amen. So I pray that this would stir you in your hearts to pray more effectively for people. And so we're going to take a few minutes now. And I want you to prayerfully write down 5 names. And then we're going to go into groups of 3 or 4. And just pray for those names, people on your list. And ask God for wisdom in terms of how to reach out. How to reach out to these people. How do I build relationship with them? There will be training in September, I know. But allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, to teach one another, to share with one another. And you may have ideas that I've never even thought of. God, by the power of His Spirit, will give you ways and means that
that is completely new, that nobody's even heard of. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this holy moment as we come before your throne and to bring those who are in darkness before you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead us with your divine agenda as we write down names on these cards. That it will not just be a quick little exercise to get it over and done with, but Father, I pray that you touch our hearts and that your love will be our love. And that your cry for the lost will be our cry. And that your boldness will be our boldness. And that the power of your light will be our light. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, just write down five names. Then turn to one another in groups of three and four. Pray for those people. And then I'd like for you to just take 2 minutes and just discuss with one another ways that you think you might be able to build relationship with those five people. And we're going to leave the service open-ended. So when your little group is done, you're welcome to have some tea and coffee. And then you're not going to let your little light shine. You're going to let your mighty light shine. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's write down and pray together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.